This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the silly? Oh, permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Want to see your loan options, adjust payments and closing costs online in real time? Well, Rocket can.
Well, we are now into the belly of the beast. This is now officially, effectively, a mothership adventure. As you know, all week long, I'm broadcasting live from Idaho. Broadcasting live because of our wonderful affiliate in Boise, Idaho, KTIK The Ticket. And this entire week brought to you by Dutch Bros, and tomorrow we'll be on location tomorrow morning in Boise, broadcasting live in front of fans, in front of our wonderful local loyal D-Aliens here in Idaho. And then on Friday, same thing, we're going to be live in the morning from a place called Bacon, which it's just a sin Mraz can't be here for. And with this is all to lead up until Saturday's nighttime kickoff on the blue turf between Boise State and Oklahoma State. So we are really, really excited just to be part of this week-long festivities. I'll also be on the afternoon show with them locally, out on the road as well. Multiple chances to come see the show. Saturday, we've got a college football watch party here as well in Boise, Idaho. Sunday morning football emanates live from Boise in the KTIK studios. We'll do our Monday morning show from Boise as well. So we are just completely enamored with this entire week. And tonight, Bogish comes and joins me. He's going to hop a flight after the show today. And so it's been wonderful. But, you know, I can't go anywhere without seeking out just at least a little slice of adventure. I'm just not the type of person that likes to sit up, hold up in a hotel room, or on a cruise ship for the entire week. I got to get out and do something that is a little weird, a little unique, a little cool, a little wild. And yesterday, I mean, the folks at KTIK have really set me up with something big. Yesterday, we drove 3 hours north of Boise into the heart of the wilderness. We are in the Payette National Forest. And we are on Lake Payette in McCall, Idaho. And McCall, Idaho is this really cool little resort town in the middle of this national forest with this amazing lake around it. And it's a really, really neat and beautiful little vacation town. And we have this set up here at a place called the Glass House. If you are watching right now at watchda.com or on Twitch, you see behind me a background unlike any background that I've ever broadcast in front of. You've got these hanging archways and these big windows and these incredible architectural lines. This house, this building, was built about 60 years ago, maybe a little bit longer, and it's been renovated into this amazing boutique hotel that overlooks the lake. And so right now I'm broadcasting here, and it's pitch black, obviously. It is 4:06 local time, and it's pitch black. You can see all of the stars, though, in front of me, overlooking this deck. And as the sun rises, it's going to rise over us and over the lake, and it's going to be absolutely jaw-droppingly gorgeous. So why are we here? Well, of course, because McCall is an amazing town to explore, but also because today we're going fishing. Who knows what I'm going to catch? Who knows if I catch anything at all? Who knows if I fall over this boat? But we're going on an adventure tour to go fishing today into the canyons of Idaho. This is just jaw-droppingly beautiful up here. We got to do some hiking. We got to do some sightseeing. If you are following me on Instagram, you're seeing some of this. That's at Damon Amendo. I'm trying to post as many pictures as possible. It is just so serene and so gorgeous and so large and so big and so cool. And it is so great to be here this morning. So the Glass House in McCall, Idaho is hosting us this morning, and we are absolutely loving it. And so if you're tuning in and you're watching, you're going, D8, that does not look like a radio studio. That's because it's not. It's better. This morning on the show, Ty Dunn is going to join us, NFL insider. He's one of my favorite NFL writers out there. Has some really good stuff on the Cowboys right now and the inner workings of that franchise, which is always intriguing. He's going to join us coming up on the show next hour. Also, one of the best Vikings ever to suit up. He was a linebacker for many years for the Vikings franchise in the 70s and 80s. He's a member of the Vikings Ring of Honor. Hashtag Skull. Scott Studwell is going to join us here on the show. He was an absolute legend in purple. He's going to drop on by in hour number three. Also coming up this morning on the show, Saquon Barkley already making excuses. That's a little bit later on in this hour. Lamar Jackson, an eye-popping stat in a bad way after Monday night's loss. We've also got the Nick Sirianni jolt that the Eagles got on Sunday. Is that new coach jolt, or is that we played the Falcons jolt? And we look ahead to the college football playoff and the landscape right now early in the season to look at some party crashers and where they might end up when all is said and done in December and January. So a lot to get to this morning on the show. You can always hit me up on Twitter, DA on CBS. Follow me and tweet at me there, DA on CBS. And like I said, the entire photo journal of this trip is happening on my Instagram page at Damon Amendo. Follow me there and check out all the videos and pictures. We start with college football, and we start with USC, because as I talked about yesterday, as you probably already have gleaned as a college football fan or an NFL fan or just somebody that generally has a brain, USC is one of the best jobs, if not the best job in college football. There's like five things about the USC job that make it, if it's not the best, it's one of the two or three best. And it has not performed like that since Pete Carroll left. Number one, you're in perhaps the most fertile recruiting ground in America. Put it right in there with the best parts of Texas and South Florida. But Southern California puts out absolutely amazing five-star talent year after year after year, and specifically quarterbacks. Everybody goes to Southern California for quarterbacks. So if all you do is get one five-star quarterback every other year, if you get one of the two or three best quarterbacks in America that are largely coming out of Southern California every other year, you should basically have a Heisman Trophy candidate every single season. Number two, it is Los Angeles, which is a draw, especially today with NIL. If you're talking about earning some cash as a kid, as a player, you go to Los Angeles, there's a lot of spigots of money open to you. Number three, the weather. Not hard to recruit to Southern California if you're not keeping kids there. Not hard to bring them through, see some palm trees, see the weather, see the ocean, and be like, want a ball here? Number four, the history. Heisman trophies, national championships, number one draft picks. Hey, it's not that long ago that Reggie Bush, Matt Leinart, Carson Palmer, etc., are lighting things up and USC's winning national championships. And they are completely driven as an alumni and fan base to be great at football. This is not a basketball school that happens to try to want to be good at football. This is not a campus that doesn't care, is apathetic about football. No, they want their program to be back to where it used to be. So you have all of these things now working together and an AD that is entrusted with getting football back. Urban Meyer was in Los Angeles last year. Urban Meyer is one of the greatest college football coaches ever to walk. Now, he might not be your cup of tea. He's not a lot of people's cup of tea. In fact, he's not some people's cup of tea from where he actually had won as well, like in Florida. But in terms of success, you cannot argue with the type of success he has had. We all figured he wanted that USC job. We all figured he was lurking around Los Angeles, waiting, knocking on the door. Hey, is the job open yet? Hey, Clay, you sick of this job yet? Hey, USC, what do you think? Oh, you don't need anybody right now? Oh, no problem. I'll be over here in the bathroom. Then he takes this Jaguars job in the offseason. The Jaguars just got pounded by the team we thought would be the worst in the NFL, the Houston Texans. They just got pounded by the worst team of the NFL, we thought. So the Jaguars obviously could be the worst team of the NFL by a long shot. And there's already grumblings that the Jaguars players are unhappy. There was a report over the weekend that the culture in Jacksonville is so bad right now that the players did not even want to come out and be spirited and fired up for week number one. It's week one. And you can't help but think whether Urban Meyer is already questioning his decision to go to Jacksonville, considering his dream job is open. He's obviously been listed by a couple of lists of potential candidates for USC. Would Urban Meyer leave this job in the middle of year number one? Would he leave this job at the end of year number one? Would he scoot and skedaddle like a Bobby Petrino writing a note in the locker room saying, so long, to get to this job? It is where we begin. Your cold open.
Well, look, I reported at length on Sunday about the problems inside that organization collectively as a staff, beginning with Urban Meyer. The inability to adjust to the pro game, difficulties getting installations done on time, difficulties getting an off-season schedule put out on time, not understanding how to handle preseason games, belittling coaches, treating every setback as if it's the end of the world. Morale was so low going into that game, and there has not been cohesion among that staff, particularly between the college guys and the pro guys. So, no, it was not shocking to see them a complete mess on offense on Sunday. If you'd been talking to people in that building, there was a lot of concern about their preparedness for this game and how this was going to unfold.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
Uh-oh. That's our friend Jason Lockenfora from CBS Sports and CBSSports.com. He also said, quote, Urban has everyone looking over their shoulders already. He becomes unhinged way too easily. He doesn't know how to handle losing even in the preseason. He loses it and wants to take over the drills himself. It's not good. Urban's always been better served in the college game. It's worked for him there. He's won national championships there. He's built up programs at Utah, at Florida, at Ohio State. He's done it everywhere, even Bowling Green. You look at his stats, you look at his wins with both the Gators and the Buckeyes. Here's his seasons. In Gainesville, 9-3, 13-1, 9-4, 13-1, 13-1, 8-5. Ohio State, 12-0, 12-2, 14-1, 12-1, 11-2, 12-2, 10-1. This guy belongs in college. But I get it if he didn't want to take any job and only wanted to take the elite jobs. But Urban Meyer should have waited for that USC gig. He should have waited, because what he did was he got antsy. He saw the money in Jacksonville. He got bowled over by Tony Khan and Shad Khan. Tony Khan specifically can be very energetic and easily can sell you on something. That's why he's selling AEW wrestling these days. And Urban Meyer jumped too quickly and now has to regret that decision. And do I think that Urban Meyer is going to leave tomorrow for the USC job? No. USC is going to have its interim head coach the rest of this season. But I'm sure Urban Meyer is thinking about leaving after the season, Jacksonville. I'm sure of it. Because look at Urban Meyer's, quote, integrity or lack thereof. Does this look like a guy that's going to see this project through? Hell no. Now, I'm not saying USC wants to pry Urban Meyer away from Jacksonville, because who knows? By the end of the season, maybe some of the bloom is off the rose when it comes to Urban Meyer. But do I think that Meyer is already wondering if the NFL is a fit for him? Yes. Do I think he noticed that USC job is open? Double yes. And do I think there's somewhere in his crevices of his mind that he's thinking, boy, you know what? How do we align this to where sometime in December, the college football season is over, we've got about two games left, and we're going to be a 2 or 3 win campaign, and I slide out the back door and go to the premier job in college football, and I win national championships there in short order? Hell yeah, I do! Absolutely, I believe that's the consideration right now with Urban Meyer. So could he? Would he leave? And the answer is yes. And if he doesn't, how about that time biting him in the ass? He could have waited 6 more months and had the USC job to himself. Instead, he might get passed over, and whoever gets that job might be there for 10 years, and he's stuck in Jacksonville losing 13 games a year. 855-212-4CBS. Or on Twitter, like I said, follow me and tweet at me, DA on CBS. Again, that's DA on CBS. What a day it is. What a week it's already been. I'm so fired up to be here in Idaho, the beautiful, beautiful Idaho. And when we come back here on the show, we've got your sound check, the best audio of the day. Speaking of that USC job, how about James Franklin being attached to it? Franklin addresses it. And also, remember the Marquette Marvel, Aiden, who of course was the host of the Dear District Diaries over the summer? Well, he's on college radio at Marquette, and he took a run at one of...
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Of our own. What? Oh, really? Oh, okay. Let's take a listen to that coming up on Soundcheck next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
We appreciate you being with us, and there's so many ways you can listen to the show. Of course, you can listen to us on our family of CBS Sports Radio affiliates, hundreds of them nationwide and north of the border. Also on Sirius XM channel 206. And check us out on your phone. Use that handy little thing on your in your pocket. It usually takes pictures or scrolls Instagram for you, but it can also listen to CBS Sports Radio and the DA. Use the CBS Sports app. That's free. Use the Odyssey app. That's free as well. The Odyssey app, you can actually pause, rewind, and fast forward audio there, including the mothership. Soundcheck begins with James Franklin, Penn State's head coach. How will he address rumors of the USC job?
As you guys know, I can't stand in any form of distraction. So I'll discuss this today with the leadership council so that we can make sure that all of our energy and all of our energy is on our preparation for Auburn. And that's how we'll handle it. I'm gonna talk to the leadership council today about it.
Yeah, it's a bad week to have any distractions because Auburn is on your schedule, and that's going to be one of your tougher matchups of the season. And Penn State, obviously, with an early solid start to its campaign, especially that win over Wisconsin, is in a spot where you can't really afford many slip-ups or trip-ups because you could be playing for a college football playoff spot by the end of the year. But James Franklin is the best candidate for this USC job. He is. James Franklin has done a very good job at Penn State. You know, at Vanderbilt, he resuscitated life into that program. Think about winning 9 games and a bowl game back-to-back seasons at Vandy. And then after that, he's gone to Penn State, and he's won 11 games 3 different times. Last year wasn't very good, but he's a guy that has gone to the near top, maybe been the second best program overall in the last 7 years in the Big Ten behind Ohio State. So Franklin, I think, enjoys the attention of the notoriety. I think he would do well with Los Angeles and all that comes with it. He's obviously a proven head coach. And I think if you are USC, you back up the Brinks truck and see what it's going to take to get James Franklin. I'm not saying Penn State's going to let you go. I'm not saying that Penn State's not going to try to make sure they match every dollar for dollar that USC gives you. But for the Trojans, James Franklin should be the number one candidate for that job. Soundcheck rolls on with Jordan Battle. This is an Alabama Crimson Tide safety. So give us some of Nick Saban's favorite sayings, Jordan.
Yeah, I've asked a couple of the other older guys about this, but do you have a favorite saying that Saban has, one of his little coaching, quips he has?
Not that I can think of right now because he has so many, but there are a few I like, and he always talking about touch D's or you know, suck on D's or all that.
No. Ah!
Huh. I did not expect Nick Saban's best quips to include suck on D's. Didn't expect that. Didn't think that was in the purview of Nick Saban's favorite sayings. And now I can't ever look at Nick Saban the same way ever again. 70-year-old Nick Saban, 70-plus-year-old Nick Saban is doing D's jokes. D-E-E-Z jokes. Is that right? Did I get that right, or am I dreaming here? It's the middle of the night in Idaho. It's 4:28 local time, so 70-year-old Nick Saban is not doing suck on D's jokes, I hope. Is that why Alabama trashed Miami in week number one? Because now Nick Saban's just doing deaf comedy jam?
Suck on D's or all that.
Why would you say that? Why would Jordan Battle say that? Why would that? Why would he say? Was that the SID in the back, sports information director, going, nope, no, no, nope, don't, no, don't say that, Jordan. Nope.
No.
Nope.
No.
Nope.
No.
Nope. No. No. Nope. Cut this off. Huh. Huh. Interesting. Had no idea that Nick Saban and Chris Tucker had so much in common. I guess that's the effect of Snoop on the program. Guys, it's LSU week. Suck on D's. Oh, all right, coach. We're ready to go now. And finally, here is the Marquette Marvel, Aiden Hatton, who hosts his own radio show on Marquette Student Radio called Games and Grub. And they were doing a segment based on some of our food opinions, and they brought up Connor Green's high ranking of pizza bagels. You might remember that Connor ranked pizza bagels in his top three favorite pizzas, frozen pizzas of all time. Here's Aiden and his crew breaking that down.
Connor Green on CBS Sports Radio arguing that a pizza bagel is a frozen pizza. You ready for this, guys?
Pizza bagels are the underdog of the frozen pizza world. It's the offensive line of the pizza industry in general. Commonly forgotten, easily overlooked, but extremely, extremely important. You have a Super Bowl party? I got pizza bagels. A fantasy football draft? I have pizza bagels.
And I do agree that pizza bagels are pizza, right? Can we agree on? Are pizza bagels pizza? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
However, at a Super Bowl party, at a fantasy draft, which many of you listeners probably had in the last week, bringing pizza bagels is like the Broncos going with Teddy Bridgewater. You're accepting mediocrity, a low ceiling. Give me some wings, a buffalo chicken dip, even some pigs in a blanket. Pizza bagels, they're more a chore to get rid of than a party favor. Next.
Let's bring in the Thick-tator. Mraz, are pizza bagels the Teddy Bridgewater of football foods?
This is a great, great, great take by Aiden. It really is, because when you think about it, they are. Because they'll never necessarily fail you, but you will never rise to an elite status where you know, hey, I'm walking with pizza bagels. I'm going to be a smash hit here. This is going to be the feature of a party. He's absolutely right. Pizza bagels are the most perfectly mediocre food that exists on the planet. And that was such a good way of putting it. Yes, you'll have a game versus a Giants defense like Teddy Bridgewater Sunday went, wow, these perfectly crispy. You timed out the temperature well at 350. Everything went right. But then every other time you're going to look around and you're going to see this next to, like he said, a wing, a mozzarella stick, you know, any kind of other appetizer. And you go, yeah, all right, I guess I'll throw a pizza bagel on here, but do I really need it? They absolutely are the Teddy Bridgewater of snacks.
Okay, but Aiden brings up a low ceiling. I think if you buy store-bought pizza bagels, there is a low ceiling. But I think if you make your own, there could be a much higher ceiling. You know, those mini bagels, okay, they can be fluffy, they can be doughy if they are baked correctly. If you add your own solid sauce, let's say you make your own sauce, or even if you buy a really good jarred sauce, then you add fresh mozzarella on top of that. You know, now you're talking maybe a few bacon bits, or honestly, if you make your own bacon and then you tear that up and you chop that up and put it on top. I think the problem is if you're only going store-bought out of your grocer's freezer, it's a low ceiling.
But this is why it's a low ceiling, DA, because to have a high ceiling, there needs to be consistency. And everything you just broke down about making your own pizza bagels, think about how many things need to go right for it to be successful. You're not making your own bagel, so you may need to make sure you buy the perfect fluffy bagels that crisp up nice. That's not necessarily going to be the case every single time, even if you go to the same bagel or deli place. Even if you make your own sauce, look, I have an Italian wife who loves stirring that sauce on a Sunday. Sometimes a little too much sugar, a little too much salt, a little too little. It's just not the same.
Well, that's her problem.
But that's my point. You're talking about the bagels, the sauce, the cheese. Then you need to make sure that the oven is at the right temperature and you time it out to the right second. There are too many ifs that need to go right on a consistent basis for those pizza bagels to come out. Could Teddy Bridgewater win a playoff game? Yes. Can Teddy Bridgewater go 12-5 and win a Super Bowl? Think about how many times you need to perfect that with a pizza bagel, even on your own. It's too many question marks. He's absolutely right, Aiden.
Aiden fits in very well around here as he is comparing pizza bagels to Teddy Bridgewater in the Broncos offense. And that is your sound check. We are broadcasting live from McCall, Idaho, which is a couple of hours north of Boise in the middle of the Payette National Forest. And it's just gorgeous here. Absolutely gorgeous. I'm looking out over the deck and this beautiful lake in front of me, Lake Payette. And as the sun comes up in a couple of hours, it's just going to light up. And right now the stars are out and it's breathtakingly gorgeous, and coming in to Boise later on today is the one and only Andrew Bogish, a kind sir. He's going to join me here in Boise starting tonight, and tomorrow morning we're going to be at Dutch Bros on Milwaukee broadcasting live for everybody, and they're 24/7, folks. And so even though we are kicking things off at 4 a.m. local time here, we expect at least a few live audience members there at 4 a.m. And I am told we will have things to give out. We will have some prizes to give out, something if you are the first ones in the building at 4 a.m. Now, again, it's 24/7, so you can camp out from 3 a.m., 2 a.m. You can live there all day for all I care. But we need somebody there at 4 a.m. when we are there at Dutch Bros on Milwaukee tomorrow in Boise. But I'm up in McCall, and I'm going to tell you this, Bogues, after a day of fishing today in the middle of the wilderness, in fact, we're driving so far outside of Boise, we're going into the Pacific time zone today. I'll be in the Pacific time zone today. It's on the table I don't return, and so it's on the table you will have to host the rest of the week from Boise.
I'm more concerned with tonight because as you know, it's a long day of travel. I am not a hearty young man. By the time I get to Boise, I'm going to want to eat and go to sleep. Are you going to make me do things tonight, or are you going to be tired from fishing and want to crash as well?
God. Bogues, if I'm not asleep by 6 p.m. on the drive home from wherever we're going in the middle of the canyons, it's a win. My guess is, by the time I see you, I'm just going to be a zombie in between my sleeping. I mean, I'm not sleeping much as it is this week because, of course, we're starting the show 2 hours earlier than normal, and we're driving, and we're seeing, and we're doing. No, tonight we're not doing anything, okay? You'll be lucky if you see me tonight and I'm not, like, plastered on the floor somewhere.
Okay, good. All right, fine. And by the way, I feel a little bit like Sean. Now, I knew that Boise wasn't like a quick left after Pittsburgh, but what I didn't understand is, and you mentioned this, our flights go to Denver and then a switch to the plane to Boise. And only yesterday did I notice that the flight from Denver to Boise is scheduled for like 2 hours and 7 minutes.
Yeah.
I had no idea how much more west and north of Denver we were in Boise. It's a 12-hour drive between the two cities.
That's exactly right. It's a full 2 hours. I mean, I did that obviously the other day, and it's pretty much 2 hours. Let me tell you, this is how far off Mraz's geography was when he once upon a time said, "Isn't Boise like 2 hours past Cleveland?" When you're in Boise, you're 45 minutes from the Oregon border. 45 minutes from Oregon, Mraz thought we were 2 hours driving past Cleveland. You could go to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and in 2 hours be at the border of Oregon. I'm going to be in the Pacific time zone today. Mraz thought we were basically in Akron.
Do I need my passport? The flight says no, but I think I need to bring it just in case.
I'll tell you, it's a haul from New York, and here's the ultimate nip. There's no directs except one, which I thought I found, and I was super stoked, and I'm like, oh, there's a red eye, and there's a direct, and this is going to be great. It's seasonal for the summer and ended last week. We were late by like 6 days on the direct. 6 days. I think we were late on it. So, yeah, it's a journey. You better strap up. And everybody in Boise right now is like, yes, keep telling everybody across America how hard it is to get here, DA. Please keep telling them because they want this to be the best-kept secret America, but it's not really a secret anymore, especially on the West Coast. But from the East Coast, oh, it's a haul. It's a freaking haul. My guess is that Chris Peterson and Brian Horsted and company didn't do a lot of recruiting on the East Coast because if they tried to get a kid out to Boise, kid would have been like, where am I going? It's 2 hours past Cleveland. That's what my favorite sports radio show said. No, sorry, son. It's actually nearly the Pacific time zone. All right, AB, what do we got this morning?
We got headlines sponsored by NHTSA. Trains appear to be farther away and moving more slowly than they are. If the signals are on, the train is on its way. And remember one thing, stop, because trains can't. DA, you know how much we love that loss column when it comes to baseball standings. Is Team A ahead or behind Team B in that loss column? Makes all the difference. Well, the loss column in play right now in the AL wildcard chase. The Blue Jays cooled off last night, a 2-0 home loss to the Rays. The Yankees hit 5 homers in a 7-2 win in Baltimore, and the Red Sox found themselves in a 2-2 game late in Seattle.
The pitch, Swing. There's a drive hammer to right field and deep. Back toward the wall and gone. It just made it over the right field fence. A two-run homer, Verdugo. The Red Sox lead it 7-2.
Joe Castiglione on Red Sox Radio. Alex Verdugo's two-run homer preceded by Kyle Schwarber's three-run double in the eighth. It helped Boston win 8-4 in Seattle. So the Rays, the Yanks, the Sox, and a virtual tie for the two wild cards, but Boston is one game behind those other two in the loss column. The Mariners are three games behind all of that. Oakland's 3.5 back after a 10-7 loss in KC. Bob Melvin's team has lost 3 in a row and 7-10.
Everybody knows where we are right now. We have to win games, and there isn't a game that we can let dwell to the next day. We have to go out there tomorrow like it's the last game we're playing.
Maybe we can spin out of Boise to Oakland real quick and give them a pep talk over the weekend while we're there.
Really.
Over in the NL, the Dodgers clinched a playoff spot with an 8-4 win over the D-backs, plus the Padres' 6-1 loss in San Francisco, plus the Reds' 6-5 loss in Pittsburgh. Those San Diego and Cincy losses, coupled with the Cardinals' 7-6 win in 11 at the Mets, has the Redbirds in the second wild card spot this morning. They're a half game better than the Reds, and one game up on the Pods. The Rockies held off the Braves 5-4, the Cubs 6-3 winners in Philly, and the Brewers' five-game win streak ended in 11 in Detroit, 1-0. The Saints reportedly dealing with 8 COVID positives. It is 6 assistant coaches, a nutritionist, and Michael Thomas, the wideout now on the COVID list and the PUP. The Saints now in enhanced protocols, which means daily testing and everyone wears a mask. Off the injury report, Broncos wideout Jerry Jeudy on IR with a high ankle sprain. Corner Ronald Darby joins him with a hamstring issue. Both will be back at some point. Here we go again, this time with John Wall. He and the Rockets apparently working together on a trade because Houston wants to start Kevin Porter Jr. and Jalen Green at guard. Wall will not play until he is moved. And MLS last night, Seattle beat Mexico's Santos Laguna 1-0 to reach the League's Cup final later this month. DA, back to you.
Thank you, Bogues. We are broadcasting this morning from the Glass House in McCall, Idaho, part of the Hotel McCall, and it's just gorgeous here. We're broadcasting this morning from right in front of Lake Payette, which is just beautiful. When we come back here on the program, Saquon Barkley started to come back from that injury last season, and the offense looked dreadful week number one for the Giants. They are back at it tomorrow night. They play Thursday night football against Washington, and is Saquon already making excuses for a slow start? DA, CBS Sports Radio. If one of your friends in seventh grade said, "Mommy's going to pick me up from soccer practice," is that weird?
I think it starts the game.
Yes.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
No use of mommy here on the DA show. Thanks for being with us on a fine Wednesday morning. Listen to us, the PGP. We're going to be taping this after the show today. The Permission Granted podcast, the show about the show within the show, available each and every week on your favorite podcast platform. Welcome back to McCall, Idaho, where we are broadcasting live this morning, a couple of hours north of Boise. We are here all week, presented by Dutch Bros, and we're excited to be here in Boise for the entire week and in Idaho, broadcasting live. And Mraz isn't happy because a couple of things have gone against him. Number one, the Yankees have just been an absolute mess the last month of the season and just looks like garbage with the Bombers going into October. Number two, his wife is preggers and due any day now, and so that precluded him from joining us on this trip. And number three, a season of optimism for the Giants. You know, Mraz, like other really hysterical Giants fans, predicted them as playoffs or bust. They should definitely get to the playoffs in year number two under Joe Judge, Daniel Jones, Saquon Barkley's return, great defense last year. They're building something. 1 week in, Mraz already threw the baby out of the bathwater. This team sucks. Joe Judge sucks. The season's over. Took one game. One game.
I didn't say it's over. I did not.
Before the season, though, you did say playoffs or bust.
Right. And right now, after one game, it looks like bust. But that doesn't mean you give up.
So tomorrow night, the Giants are back in action after that snooze fest against the Broncos, which Mraz took his dad and sister to. And Saquon Barkley says it's not ideal, this short turnaround. Not ideal for rehabbing or coming back from that injured ACL from last year. Now, Lawrence Tynes, who has two Super Bowl rings with the Giants, tweeted out something interesting earlier in the week. Then I thought, whoa, and I retweeted this. He says, Saquon has played 32 games in a Giants uniform. The Giants are 8-24 in those games.
I will now, take Bradley.
8-24 since Saquon Barkley was taken. Was it the second pick overall, Mraz? Third pick?
Second pick overall, DA. Second pick. And they have never once had an above 500 record at any point in a year with him.
Oh, second pick in the draft, and since they've been 8-24 with him, and he missed the bulk of last season. So it's just been a nightmare, and I always have felt, at least in the last 10 to 15 years, rebuilding teams cannot take running backs in the first round. It's always a dicey proposition, but when I say don't take a running back in the first round, inevitably somebody points out a guy like Clyde Edwards-Helaire. You say, okay, fine. That's a Chiefs team drafting at the end of the first round with very few holes and added a running back at the end of the first round. They didn't need anything else in that spot necessarily. The Giants needed everything in that spot a couple of years ago. And so, Mraz, you know, part of me feels a little like it's unfair to badger Saquon Barkley for his injuries. But another part of me says, and it's not his fault he was drafted 2 overall, but when you say like, oh, this is not ideal, and he was kind of playing the, I don't know, he was very vague in the offseason about the comeback and when he's going to be ready. And now I'm starting to wonder if Saquon Barkley, that the last couple of years, if he's cut out to be, you know, what he was supposed to be for the Giants.
I completely agree. And you know what's really annoying? When you spend the entire offseason on Instagram running through tires and doing drills and acting as if you have the most intense workout regimen, but that's not too much on the body. Playing a second game after we haven't seen you for a year is too much. It just becomes nauseating. You have a captaincy. Even if you feel that way, how about just have a little bit of positive mindset instead of saying this isn't ideal? It is so frustrating. Oh, by the way, DA, the Giants' run game was at its best last year in the second half of the year where they had no Saquon Barkley and Wayne Goldman was running through the same bad offensive line. I've had it. I've absolutely had it. It's home run or nothing. Same crap at Penn State. Man up.
Now, it's interesting because Barkley has had two 1,000-yard seasons.
Right.
He went for 1,300 yards his rookie season. 1,000 yards year number two. Last year was done after two games. So can we call him a bust?
Well, but that's a stats misleading guy, DA, because if you look at some of those games individually, he has like one run for 69 or 71 yards and then 12 other runs that combine for 20 yards. So it's gets so padded and those 1,000 yards are so padded because he hits one home run a game, which is great playmaking. But in the NFL, you need to, you know, have some time of possession, keep the ground moving. So he is kind of a bust because he doesn't fit that NFL mold of a running back that does that.
When you see all of the veteran running backs that the Ravens have dusted off out of the cobwebs to come train with them or come try out with them, it reminds you, like, why would you invest really high in a running back? I mean, look at Ezekiel Elliott. Do you think Zeke's ever going to be as effective as he was 3 seasons ago?
No. Tony Pollard is almost as effective in that offense.
And that's terrifying because Ezekiel Elliott is on that huge monster deal with the Cowboys. And he's, what, 26 years old, something like that?
He's going to be cooked 26. By 29.
He's 26. He had 1,400 yards in 2018. He had 1,300 yards 2019. He had 1,600 yards his rookie season. He'll never be that effective again, ever. So it's already done on the downside at 26 years old. I mean, why? The question is why. When we come back, an alarming stat about Lamar Jackson after Monday.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.